All right, friends, family, and loved ones, welcome back to shit. Loved ones and friends and family, that's the same thing. I just botched that.
Well, no, they can be mutually exclusive.
You know, it is what it is. Welcome back. It's Girl Scout cookie season, y'all. Inside the Locker is back. Logan Yuri is back with us on the boards. What's happening, my man?
Oh, thank goodness I've missed you guys so much.
Adam and Elliot are off tonight.
In the ether.
Just kind of doing their thing.
They're not somewhere out there. We have no idea where they're at.
To text messages.
Well, Adam is coming back from Dallas. So right. We know that.
Okay, so Adam...
Which may as well be the ether at this point.
Yeah. Trying to convince Jerry Jones not to sign Johnny Manziel.
Oh, my gosh. Cowboys do appear to be ready to move on from Greg Hardy of reports.
Jerry Jones doesn't listen to nobody.
Believed. Yeah, Jerry Jones doesn't listen. With me, as always, Penny, my dog. You may hear her barking in the background. And, of course, JC DeLeon. JC, what's happening, my brand?
Not a lot. I'm watching Penny, I guess, trying to extract ice out of the fridge there.
She wants ice.
She's working on it.
The ice machine. She's doing a hell of a job. All right. So we have a lot to discuss. It is Super Bowl week. Hot and diddly damn. I love the Super Bowl. Everybody does. It's wonderful. You know, Rodney Dangerfield in his autobiography at the very beginning, he said, man, I'm in my 80s this year, and that means pretty soon I won't have any more Super Bowls because I'll be dead. And he's dead, and he's right. He doesn't have any more Super Bowls. So you got to savor what you got. This is the 50th Super Bowl. Can you believe it? I remember watching... 30 years of Super Bowls. That's not true because I'm 30 years old. Like 30, like 28 years of Super Bowls. 20s are great. We only get them once a year. They're wonderful. Everybody's gambling. We're going to talk props tonight. We're going to talk predictions. But before we get into all of that, I figured we should just start the show by just kind of like disclosing some of our absolute favorite Super Bowl memories, and I suppose I'll go first. Who can forget 10 years ago, Super Bowl 40, the Seattle Seahawks, the Pittsburgh Steelers? That game sucked. It was like 21-10.
Yeah.
It was better than the one 2 years ago.
That game was not fun. Ben Roethlisberger was terrible in that game. Hines Ward, I think, scored a touchdown. I don't remember that. I just remember like thinking, this game sucks, and I'm not enjoying the Rolling Stones at halftime. All right, but maybe better Super Bowls. A couple years later, Pittsburgh played the Arizona Cardinals. All-time classic Super Bowl. Santonio Holmes was the MVP. I bet on Santonio Holmes to be the MVP. I got 9-1 odds on that
one.
It's the last time I got a good bet in. My all-time favorite Super Bowl of this century, and Elliot isn't here to hear it, that's Saints-Peyton Manning one, because that was before that, leading up to that game. And then that's what I love about Super Bowls, is how narratives change. Is Peyton Manning the greatest quarterback of all time? Well, I'll tell you what, he's about to win his second Super Bowl here, and who knows what he's going to do after that. He might already
be
the best quarterback of all time. and he lost big to the Saints in that team of destiny. It felt like a gigantic upset, the Hank Basket onside kick.
Yeah. That onside kick, man.
Yeah. JC, that's not good radio to say that onside kick, man, without describing it.
Well,
setting the scene or showing a visual, except that we know what you mean. I know exactly.
I was going to say, to expand upon it, would you say that's one of the more ballsier calls in Super Bowl history?
I think it's. I can't think of a more ballsy call.
Yeah.
That was that iconic and that game shifting.
And one that nobody saw coming, and it's not like. Like this past NCAA football championship where Nick Saban was exploiting a flaw in that, you know, the other team was leaving a spot on the field wide open.
Right.
This was just kind of coming out of nowhere. And every NFL team covers kickoffs the same way. And so, like, there's no hole to exploit. So, yeah, it just kind of came out of nowhere. And I remember at the time thinking, like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
And then they got it.
It was one of those things that it worked because it was such a stupid idea.
Right.
and it was great. You know, I'm still old enough to remember, you know, that run of Super Bowls that weren't any good. Mm-hmm. You know, that there was that Dan Marino, Joe Montana Super Bowl in 84, that Niners-Dolphins game. And then right after that, we had the 85 Bears just crushing the Patriots 46-10. And from then until, from then until the John Elway finally wins the Super Bowl after losing 3, 97... upsetting the Packers, All those Super Bowls were trash. You know, it was the Niners pounding the Broncos, the Giants pounding the Broncos, the Redskins pounding the Broncos, the Bills losing four straight.
That's a lot of pounding.
A lot of pounding, my man. With the exception, of course, of Scott Norwood, wide right, 20-19, yeah. Bills losing to the Giants. But beyond that, those games were one-sided atrocities. As much as I love the Dallas Cowboys, as much as I savored those two back-to-back wins over the Bills, those games were terrible.
Yeah. One of my Super Bowl memories involves Super Bowl, the 2002, when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won. And I remember it because one of the few, and this probably isn't legal gambling, but we've all played squares. We've all gotten a square off of that board.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Put a certain amount of money on it. And I had the square 1-1 at this game, and I was about to win $300.
Oof.
And then pass is tipped. I forgot who. Derek Brooks intercepted a pass. And at this point, the Buccaneers are up 41-21. There's a minute and 18 left in the game. He doesn't have to score. He could just fall, and I can put $300 in my pocket. But he decides to score because he's a dick. That's my Super Bowl memory.
That was a miserable Super Bowl. There was the Giants-Ravens Super Bowl that was garbage with, like, Kerry Collins and Trent Dilfer. There was that Rich Gannon 2002 Raiders team where, like, their center got arrested and it, like, totally threw him off and the Bucks just smashed him.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite story about that Super Bowl was before the game, to jack everybody up, right before they went out to the Super Bowl site, then Buccaneers coach John Gruden gives a speech about the game, and then pauses in front of the whole team, and he goes, and when I get there, I'm getting two hotel rooms for all my bitches. And that just... He said that to the whole team, and the team just, like, went apeshit, and that was a great Buccaneers team that just destroyed... I mean, that was one of those teams, a little bit like this Panthers team, where you don't, you know, NFC South, you know, like, not a big market, dominant all season, but you don't really, like, stop and think of them as, like, the team. And picked apart a very good, if I remember correctly, a very good Philadelphia Eagles team in the NFC Championship. And just kind of like were in the Super Bowl. Rich Gannon of the Raiders was the MVP that year. Didn't matter. Bucks all day.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I think peak boring Super Bowl was that 49ers-Chargers game where it was like 49-20 and Stan Humphries was the quarterback. And the Chargers upset the Steelers in the AFC Championship game. And this Chargers, like, no one for half a second thought they were going to do anything. And, of course, that's exactly what happened. They lost by, like, 25 points. It was a big gambling Super Bowl. Maybe the best one, though. Maybe if we're talking about the best game, I'm going to ask you guys what you think the best Super Bowl game that you saw was. For me, with all due respect to the Patriots-Rams of 2001, that was the sentimental, emotional game. But man, that Kevin Dyson 1 yard Tennessee Titans Rams game was unbelievable.
Yeah, I remember when he was tackled a yard short, and I just kind of remember thinking, like, was that real? Like, that's the sort of stuff that's like you write about, you see in movies. Like, yeah. Did he really finish 1 yard short? Really how far they're going to be?
And for those people who don't remember, Kevin Dyson, receiver for the Titans. Titans have a red zone touchdown for the go-ahead score set up. Last play of the game, it's a slant to a receiver. He gets tackled 1 yard short of the end zone. What a winner for the Tennessee Titans. And Jeff Fisher would be considered a great coach as opposed to like a coach that's kind of middling and has overstayed his welcome in the NFL. But I digress. We have a lot to discuss tonight. We're going to bring back that starting five format that we did last week. We all kind of liked it. Five big hot topics that we're going to dissect. Wow, full disclosure, the three of us watched the Clippers in the background playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, so you can get a feel, a setting of what it is we're doing tonight and what it looks like.
One thing to look out for in this game, because J.J. Redick made news last week. He's the first active athlete who is hosting his own podcast. He finished up his tattoo sleeve, and he announced that he was going to do that the other day, and so... And yeah, he's got
all eyes on J.J. Redick's tattoos.
Yeah, he's got a full-on sleeve on his left arm there.
First thing on the starting five.
It'll make them more sleek.
Well, hold on, hold on. I feel like such an asshole. I'm so sorry, you guys. I jumped so many steps.
Why did you jump?
I'm sitting here talking about all of these things that I remember about the Super Bowl. I didn't ask you guys. What do you think is the best Super Bowl that you saw?
I would say for me, I grew up in the Dallas area in the kind of early to mid 90s, and it was around the time whenever the Cowboys were just going off. It was the time whenever they were winning those like two and like those three Super Bowls in 4 years. I was never into football at the time. I was never into sports really at the time, but like that was really my first introduction into sports. It was my first time kind of getting to feel kind of the excitement, the energy surrounded by it. I think that those Cowboys Super Bowl teams, Michael Irvin and
the triplets,
all that stuff, really got me into sports in general,
yeah.
and made me appreciate that it wasn't just some kind of like meathead jock thing. It was fun. It was energetic. It was like entertainment. And like you can get excited about it and you can have fun with it. Just like sitting at home, you know, like cooking meatballs and chicken wings for your friends and drinking beer. And of course I wasn't drinking beer back then, but
no, but those Cowboys were so, I mean, and that's one of those teams where it's kind of like what it must be like to be a Warriors fan right now, where you have a team that is very good, that is so much more talented than everybody else, and that looks like it will just be in its prime forever. Like, you have this feeling like, oh, we're going to have like a 10-year run of this. It's going to be amazing. In fact, after the Cowboys beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in Super Bowl 30, I talked to my buddy Hatley, who remains my buddy to this day, and we said, look, man, you know, how about this? For the rest of our lives, if the Cowboys are in the Super Bowl, you host the Super Bowl party, Hatley. If they're not, I'll host it. And I've been hosting the Super Bowl for more than 20 years. Because, of course, we all know, right after that 95 season, the Cowboys combusted. Bad coaching, bad personnel decisions, bad contracts, bad draft picks. And that's a recipe for a terrible run. From 1996 until 2002, the Cowboys were garbage. All right.
Until this day.
Until this day. Well, and then 03, they had, you know, Parcells 03 to 06, and then Parcells built a very talented team that kind of lasted from about 06 to about 2009. 2010, the wheels came off, and they didn't really come all the way back on until 2014. They were kind of rebuilding after that, and now this team is incredibly talented with a top 10, top 5 quarterback, and we'll see what happens. All right, JC.
Gotta go with the, not just because I'm very anti-Patriots or anything. For the most part, I'm kind of indifferent to them, but the getting that potentially undefeated season spoiled in 2008 was a great Super Bowl, just because the game was really good, back and forth the entire way. You just sort of had this feeling that it's true kind of David and Goliath situation. You just kind of had this weird feeling in the back of your throat the entire game. Like, I think the Giants can do this.
Yeah.
I think they can pull it out, and sure enough, they did. And I think it was one of those, that was an interesting season and an interesting team, because I think that's kind of when teams sort of realize how much parity there really is in the league, and that's sort of when the mentality of the true it's a marathon, not a sprint thing kind of happened, and you're looking at teams kind of play for being hot at the right time as opposed to being dominant throughout the entire season.
Absolutely. That run of, like, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers that mm-hmm. were the sixth seed and beat a 14-2 Colts team on the road and knocked them out, went on to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because I remember even some teams coming into the season, in regards to Peyton Manning, we're joking around and saying they should let Peyton Manning play the first two games of the season, sit him, and then bring him back for weeks 15, 16, 17.
No.
And then
you know,
that's kind of almost what happened.
It would have worked out, absolutely. all right. So, a lot of warm and fuzzy memories. I also have to shout out, last year was really an incredible game, the Malcolm Butler interception. My wife is a Patriots fan. She was losing her mind in that game, and I enjoyed that one so much. Particularly because it wasn't my team and I didn't have to stress. All right. This first story in our starting five is going to blow your mind. Number one, because it's so funny and so cool and so interesting and has such a happy ending. But number two, because you're like, what? How did I not hear about this? Yeah, answer is that nobody really watches hockey and no one knows anything about hockey. I bet you most sports fans could not name 6 NHL players. Can you guys?
I'm disappointed to say that I can't.
I can name Jaromir Jagr only because he's been in the league like 30 years. He's mm-hmm. like 48 years old. He's yeah. literally been in the league since he was 18.
I know Jamie Benn and Jordy Benn.
And I know Patrick Kane because he had that rape allegation this past summer.
I know, like, there was like...
Sidney Crosby.
There you go. Sidney Crosby yeah. is still in the league. He's always banged up.
I know Mike Modano, but he's not with the league anymore.
Alexander Ovechkin.
yeah, collectively.
That's Seaman. There's a guy named Seaman. who's like Swedish. Fuck, I don't know. Anyway, tell us what happened in this story.
So the NHL this year had an idea for the All-Star game in that they would allow, you know, Twitter and the internet, they would allow fans to vote for who would play in the All-Star game. The NHL also adopted this new format for the All-Star game that they adopted for their overtime, in which their All-Star game is going to be 3-on-3. Now, one cool thing about NHL that I have seen, I've seen a little bit of this, is when regular season games go into overtime, they go 3-on-3. And that's like, it's super fast-paced, it's really exciting, and that's what all the All-Star game is going to be. And so, they're going to let the fans vote for who's going to play in the All-Star game. Well, there's a guy named John Scott, plays for the Buffalo Sabres. 6'8", 6'7", 275, big goon kind of a guy. Been in the league 11 years, has scored a total of, I think I remember reading, 5 goals in his career. Well, fans started voting for this guy kind of as a joke, because he is, in a lot of people's minds, the worst player in the NHL. Well, it's a joke that took off. He ended up getting enough votes to make the All-Star game, and at first he was kind of insulted. And he was insulted to the point where even the NHL and the Buffalo Sabres kind of asked him, like, hey, do you mind bowing out of this thing? It was kind of a joke. We didn't think this was going to happen. Well, his wife came up to him and said, well, there are cash bonuses if your team wins. And
there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, and for all intents and purposes, this guy is a super good guy. He's got 2 kids. His wife is pregnant with twins. Like, just a super nice guy all around. I've heard him in interviews. Well... So he decides, no, I think I want to play if the fans voted me in. Well, so the NHL, and so some people think that the NHL orchestrated this trade. Buffalo traded him to a minor league team, thus negating his place in the All-Star game, which really upset NHL fans. And NHL fans complained. They started a Twitter hashtag, Free John Scott. Eventually, the NHL caved and they let him into the All-Star game. This dude goes into the All-Star game, scores 2 goals. MVP of the All-Star game.
Damn.
Gets $1 million check for being the MVP of the All-Star game. Amazing story. Like, this is the kind of thing that... This is sort of why this show originated. Like, we always tell people that hate sports but love movies because they love sports movies because they're cinematic.
Yeah, there's drama to it.
Yeah, this is the sort of thing that you'd hear and you'd see in a movie. Like, and in fact, he's gotten movie offers made... I think somebody offered a Liev Schreiber because Liev Schreiber does kind of look like this guy.
Liev Schreiber played like in the main goon in Goon.
That's kind of why he's sort of disqualified. But yeah, he's fielding offers for, you know, this is the sort of thing that you can't write this kind of script. And it even has a sort of perfect movie, ironic movie postscript. Because where is this guy now? He's back in the minors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But, it's a really cool story. A lot of people went behind this guy. All the NHL guys like this guy. There's never fights in an All-Star game, mm-hmm. and Patrick Kane and this guy kind of went at it as a joke in the All-Star game because that's sort of what this guy does. But, yeah, such a really cool story. Scored 2 goals, almost more goals than he scored in his entire career. Like, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. It's just... It's an amazing story.
I love stuff like that, and like I'm a kind of a closet hockey fan. Not even closet because I'm not like private about it, but I like hockey, but I don't have the energy to follow it as much as I probably should be to really honestly call myself a fan.
It's a great sport. It's a sport that we didn't grow up playing. It's a sport that isn't on TV. It doesn't have an ESPN contract. And so it's hard to make, you have to make the time to follow it, and sure. Very few people actually do. It's not delivered to us, absolutely.
Yeah, and I grew up, like, actually, I think one of the very first sporting events I ever went to was a Dallas Stars game. And that was amazing. It was so much fun. I had just a blast. They were playing the Edmonton Oilers. I remember that specifically. And I got a, I won tickets to it, and also won, I met Mike Modano at a random like Safeway in Coppell, Texas.
That's awesome.
And he autographed a jersey and gave it to me. And so now like I love the Stars, but I don't follow them as much as I probably should, but I'm so happy to hear stuff like that, and stuff like that makes me want to be like, damn, I should really be paying more attention to hockey these days.
Yeah, it's a cool story. And then but yeah, and then the NHL I think has sort of said that they're gonna nix that fans voting thing. Mm-hmm.
Because fans are stupid.
Right. I understand. It's a bummer, but I understand.
Shaq was like 46 years old making the All-Star game.
Yeah, the NBA did that this year, and they've gone on record saying we're not doing that anymore because they...
You could like retweet for fans. And
yeah, like Kyle Lowry at a point out of Toronto is a genuinely good point guard, but a lot of people think that he only got voted because Justin Bieber asked people to vote for him. Mm-hmm. fucking Zaza Pachulia almost got voted as an All-Star. And, I mean, he's from the country of Georgia, which I can't imagine has a lot of people. But, yeah, I think the NBA is like, yeah, we're not going to let fans vote for that anymore.
It happens. All right. Topic number two. National Signing Day.
Oh, Signing Day. I couldn't read what that said.
Came and went this week.
It's Signer.
For anybody that doesn't know or doesn't follow college football closely, that's when all of the very talented high school kids pick and make their final intentions as to where they're going to be playing their college football. For the first time in more than 3 years, Alabama does not have the number one recruiting class. That belongs to Florida State.
Nice.
The rest of the top 10, the usual Southern favorites, right? LSU, Ole Miss, Ohio State, one of the giant programs. Michigan, number six recruiting class. This is a program that has not been a national contender in more than a decade.
They got that Harbaugh bump.
Got the Harbaugh bump. Made headlines. Got the number one recruit in the country, a defensive tackle with a boring name that I can't remember. And all of a sudden, Michigan is a very legitimate team. A very well-coached team last year with a huge infusion of talent. And look out for Michigan in 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the top 10, Georgia, Clemson, Auburn, and here is one. Now I'm going off of the ESPN top 10. It's different from the Rivals, it's different from the Scout top 10.
Here we go.
Landing a gigantic flurry of players, of flips, of last-minute recruits, including a young man whom the University of Texas A&M was profiling for a documentary.
Excuse me, that's Texas A&M University.
Texas A&M University. How about the Texas Longhorns coming off of a losing season, top 10 recruiting class, a giant surge of last-minute flips, and now Charlie Strong, the good news, back-to-back top 10 recruiting classes, the bad news, coming off of a down year for the Horns, coming off of a losing season, which makes the recruiting classes, the signing days, that much more impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they started out the day... And I mean, I guess this sort of thing, I mean, there's going to be leaps and bounds all over the place. But they started out the day at 32nd best recruiting class, and then yeah, immediately shot up to as high as 9. Didn't land any 5 stars, but they landed 13 4 stars, 11 3 stars, and I mean, yeah, they didn't land any 1 or 2 star athletes. It's basically just 3 or 4 stars for their 24 guys.
I also feel like there seem to be fewer 5-star athletes in general this year.
Absolutely.
For whatever reason, like there are many more like 4 stars than 5 stars this year.
Mm-hmm. I always mean to track these sort of things, and I think with this guy this year I'm going to do it, and I already forgot his name, but he...
The Shark. We got the Shark.
The guy that announced... I'm talking about the guy that he announced his school by jumping out of an airplane.
I don't know who that is. That's
yeah, genius. And I'm like... The theatrics of this is it's getting crazier and crazier every year, and so I kind of want to keep track of like the crazier the announcement, whether or not that guy pans out.
Well, there was also I think who was it? Jack Johnson committed to USC by getting Snoop Dogg to help him like produce a commitment video.
Yeah, someone needs to like go back and see how well these guys did in college because like I.
No, I'm seeing like this year, like earlier today, like he had Snoop Dogg and him on video.
Mm-hmm.
Saying he was going to USC.
You know, we also had, and this was like one of those things where it, I mean, because what gets me isn't so much the giant theatrics, it's how torn these kids really are. There was Chris Warren last year, running back for the University of Texas, picked between Texas and Washington, and he literally flipped a coin and said that he actually followed the coin, and that's why he went to the Longhorns, and he's the most exciting running back the Horns have on their roster. It's wild. You know, USC, I think, finished just outside the top 10, but given how much turmoil that program has, pretty impressive to see them continue to be a, like, destination national brand. And yeah, it's the year of the flip. Last minute decisions. It's the era of social media. It's, you know, last year you saw a guy like Kyle Oxley, a Baltimore area quarterback, commit to flip from Florida State to Texas and then spend his entire winter basically texting and badgering other players to flip their commitments to join him. Got a kid named Ryan Newsom, who was a receiver that had committed to UCLA, got him to flip. So it's the era of the flips, because these kids are coddled 17- and 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
And really all it takes is a cool marketing campaign, a cool last-minute surge, and you know, it's a blast. I love it.
And it's more and more interesting every year, because, like, these kids are on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, you can yeah. get to these kids. You can read their thoughts and, like...
Let me say this. If you are an adult, do not tweet at 17, 16, 18-year-old kids.
Well,
ever.
The caveat there is, if they're good at football, just go ahead and tweet at them. What I like to do is I like to set up fake Twitter profiles and just put like a picture of a hot chick and then just tweet at them and then invite them to like hang out at a hotel room or whatever. And then I like suck their dicks while they're not looking. It's great. No, I'm kidding. Remember there was a player that did that? Like a guy like went to like a hotel room because he thought he was going to hook up with a chick and she wouldn't come out of the covers. Not the cover, but the covers. And he was like, look, she was like, hey, I'm going to be under the covers. I'll suck your dick. And so.
I think you're thinking about Case McCoy.
No, it was not. No.
He just likes to watch.
She starts sucking his dick, and then he realized that it's like a 40-year-old dude. Totally happened. It's horrible.
Also, this podcast is now NSFW.
Fuck you talking about?
My favorite was last year, Sosa Jamabo, number one running back in the state of Texas, called a press conference and the local news came and he said he was going to make his announcement and he goes, this year I'll be choosing between the University of Phoenix and ITT Tech. And he just like trolled the local news. It was great. It was great. He wound up going to UCLA and was later pulled over for drunk driving and we'll see how good his career actually pans out. But I'm rooting for him. I think he's a hell of a guy. All right. So signing day. It's a lot of fun. A lot of schools are really good, but before we let you off the hook, Logan Urie, and I'm asking you frankly, now Logan, for those that don't know, Texas A&M grad, Texas A&M fan, whoop. He's wearing a Texas A&M ring right now, and he follows his Aggies very closely. I'm going to ask you these questions. Is Kevin Sumlin coaching for his job? What happened with the last-minute deflections, and how do you feel about the state of the Aggies right now?
I think it was a mixture of – there's a bit of turmoil with the Aggies right now, particularly with the quarterback situation. You know, many people should know, I guess, at this point that A&M lost both of our starting quarterbacks to transfers, both Kyle Allen and Kyler Murray. It was a mixture of – our offensive coordinator was not getting the job done, so it was well known that he was going to be let go at the end of the season, which he was well liked by our quarterbacks. One of our other quarterbacks was at least the rumors are stating, and I don't know this for sure, but the rumors are stating that he was a bit of a, for lack of a better word, a drama queen. Like he was demanding the spotlight to a certain degree. And whenever he was not getting the job done, he decided he was going to transfer away to another school. Because of that, it made the A&M locker room, made the A&M team look very volatile, which it probably is, in all fairness. I think Kevin Sumlin is definitely he's coaching to prove that he is still the coach that we're paying $5 million a year for. I still think he is a good coach, and he's a better coach than kind of what he's being displayed as in the media.
Yeah.
But The Aggies are not looking good right now. Kevin Sumlin is not looking good right now. And kind of, as the saying goes, you know, like, winning heals everything. So this next season, we need to start winning.
But is he in a position already? Because there were rumors that he was going to get bought out, going to get fired. Do you think he's already in a position where he has to coach for his career?
I think if he does not get at least 8 wins next season, and or at least with some significant improvement, at least on the field, even with just 8 wins, which is what we got this past year, then he is. I don't think he's going to get fired next year. No, I think he has high potential of getting fired within 2 years if he does not show marked improvement. If he does not, you have to see that on the field significantly.
I think you have to as well, and I think it's the results. Coupled with having 2 quarterbacks transfer out of your program,
yeah, that looks bad. That looks really fucking bad.
Looks bad.
Yeah. But also, I will say this: like, I think that I'm going to give like big props to like I think University of Texas. They out recruited us this year.
First time in a long time that they've out recruited the Aggies.
Not a long time, but in a couple of years, I would say. You guys definitely took advantage of that perceived turmoil, and made good on that. And I think, again, I've said this before in this podcast, I think Charlie Strong is a good coach, but from a recruiting perspective, like his other coaches on his staff did a good job of just kind of making sure that the players knew, it's like, hey, we're going to take care of you. You're going to be good to go here.
On that same note, so to you, for Charlie Strong, this is year 3 coming up.
Yes.
What do you think he's got to do to...
Yeah.
He's got back-to-back top 10 recruiting classes. He's made one critical mistake as a coach. I mean, he's made many mistakes, but one very very giant problem that almost cost him his job this year, speaking frankly, and that was not knowing when to pull the plug on Sean Watson, his offensive coordinator, and letting him stay from January 2015 through August 2015. All the way up until the Notre Dame game, the opening game of the season where Texas got pantsed by the Irish. And then he promoted Jay Norvell, the receivers coach.
Which you were there for that game, too.
I was there for that game, unfortunately. Promoted Jay Norvell and then just kind of had to put together an offense on the fly all season. And that, you have to know that you're in the Big 12. You have to know that it's a innovative, wild, wild west shootout, no defense conference. And you have to plan accordingly, and he didn't. He went with a more traditional pro-style offense and offensive coordinator. Didn't work. Jay Norvell had some cool ideas, did some interesting things, but he was really not put in a position to succeed. And now Texas lost a whole year on that.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get that together because that in itself cost Texas at least 1 or 2 games. So this year, 8 wins is your floor. I'm hoping for 9 wins. And I'm expecting a better showing across the board against teams like West Virginia, against teams like TCU. We haven't been competitive against TCU in many seasons, since at least 2012. I don't think we've beaten TCU yet since they joined the Big 12, at least since 2012.
So here's kind of the really interesting thing, too. I think that this is going to be the first time, at least in my memory, or like in recent memory, of I think both – Texas and Texas A&M coaches are going to be in the hot seat this year.
Yeah.
And that's going to be really interesting. If both teams lose their head coaches, that's going to be chaos for the state of Texas.
And that could happen.
It could happen.
That's where, like, Baylor and TCU could really capitalize.
Absolutely. It could be really weird.
I think ultimately...
Texas State, my alma mater.
You could do that, too.
I mean, Baylor and TCU are institutionally a class below Texas and Texas A&M. Doesn't matter if they've had more success over the last couple of years. The bottom line is that Baylor and TCU don't have the resources and don't have the history, and they can't point to, hey, look at this great place to be. Look at this great campus. Like they're small private schools with a religious bent, and they're going to be fighting against that for a while.
Send your hate mail to Ramon.
And Baylor facilitates, you know, rapist, so that doesn't help. That's not good for.
I'm not disagreeing with you. But.
All right, look, let's circle back to the Super Bowl. This is what we're really excited about. Now, I have not stop to look at the props. Now, for those that don't know, prop means proposition. These are short, quick bets that you can bet on sites like Bovada.com, even during the game, on funny, wacky results. So there's two types of prop bets. One is the zany, funny prop bet. The other is the kind of more serious, football-centric prop bet. So for number three on our starting five topics rundown, we're gonna do the lighthearted props. I haven't read these. Logan hasn't read these. JC hopefully has.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll be...
because I'm a degenerate gambler.
He will be reciting them to us, and then we will give you, the listener and fellow gambler, some advice and our expert opinion.
Yeah. So if you go on Bovada, there are over 500 different prop bets, ranging from the silly to the serious, as was just said. Some don't even seem real. But... so, like, one of the more morbid ones is, will there be an earthquake during the telecast that the commentators that they comment on and say, like, hey, that was just an earthquake?
Oh God, I hope not.
That pays 10 to 1.
I still remember the World Series.
Yeah, and the thing that people forget about that World Series is that was a disastrous earthquake.
Oh, it was terrible.
Luckily, it didn't affect that game, but like in real life, it affected a lot of really bad stuff.
Well, it affected the game, but it collapsed both the Bay Bridge as well as, like, couple of the decks on the ballpark there.
Yeah, so. And so hopefully there's not an earthquake, and hopefully you don't take action on that bet.
Yeah.
So some of the more funny ones. Who will the MVP mention first in his speech? Will it be God?
Nope.
Team?
Yep.
City/fans?
Nope.
Coach?
Team.
Family?
Team.
Team, yeah.
I'm betting on Penny.
I want to thank my teammates. I want to thank God. I want to thank my friends. Thank you everyone for supporting us this whole time.
Yeah.
Whether it's Cam, Peyton, one of the fringe receivers that has like a big game.
Yeah.
No one there is particularly religious. The fans don't go to the Super Bowl. You start with your teammates, then you're coaching, and you go from the team.
Yeah.
Can't argue.
There are some prop bets. I don't even know how you quantify these or count these. How many wings will Buffalo Wild Wings sell on Super Bowl day? Over or under 12 million?
I have absolutely no idea. I have no idea.
I don't have any historical context for that either. Yeah. It's like, how many have they sold previously in past years?
Yeah.
And also, Buffalo Wild Wings fucking sucks.
Yeah.
They're okay.
But what that means is that they suck, and major cities don't ride for Buffalo Wild Wings the way the Burbs do. The Burbs.
Yeah.
Plus, if you want wings on game day... you know, people don't usually go to bars for the Super Bowl. Usually they have Super Bowl parties, at least in most of the country.
Yeah.
And in cities where people go to bars for the Super Bowl, I'm talking about usually bigger cities on the East Coast, they're not going to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is...
Take the under.
Because nobody fucks with Buffalo Wild Wings on game day. I'm completely serious. On Super Bowl Sunday, people will be home. And if you want wings for your Super Bowl party at home, go a number of different options.
Yeah, right. I was going to suggest if I'm doing a Super Bowl party, if people want to bring wings, then Buffalo Wild Wings is right around the corner from my house. So, I don't know.
Under.
What color will the liquid be that's poured on the winning coach?
Well, I like to say orange. Orange is my steadfast. I think it's been orange three out of the past 7 years.
Orange is the lowest paying out at +125.
Yeah. I think orange or red are always a good option.
Red is 6 to 1, so that's not bad if it's red.
Okay. I see. I'm kind of feeling purple.
Purple is 10 to 1.
10 to 1, yeah, You get some dark colored Gatorade.
If you're gonna go dark color, then I think blue is the way to go.
Purple.
Blue is +3 to 1. So yeah. There you go. What color will Beyonce's footwear be when she comes on stage for the halftime show?
Black.
She's not gonna be on that halftime. Is she guesting? Oh, she's gonna guest with Coldplay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I really truly don't know. I'm Beyonce's interesting because there's a lot of data on her. In other words, she's done so many public, you know, Obama inaugurations, Grammys, MTV VMAs. She did a halftime show herself a couple years ago. It was that Ravens 49ers game. It's really difficult. Like, you could go back and look at this, and I guess what I would do is I would pull up, you know, 20 to 30 Beyonce YouTube clips and see if I can find any kind of a trend. obviously, who the hell knows? Because on the one hand, you know, it's about modern fashion and it's about modern moments. But on the other hand, it's about personal preferences. She has a lot of control in what she puts out there.
It's going to be black or gold, one of those.
Black or gold. Both. Yeah, I think black or gold is it's going to come down to black or gold. I think that's what you're going to see.
Yeah. Update on Elliot. His response, LOL, sorry I didn't know it was tonight. Even though it was established.
Fuck that.
Hey, Elliot, check your goddamn messages. I don't pay for your phone bill so that you don't check your messages.
Yeah.
This is so rude, man.
Make an appearance on stage during the Super Bowl halftime show.
Ridiculous. Coldplay is self-serious and terrible. They would never call back something that the internet found funny. Nobody's going to remember that. No one's going to know what that is. You could put Left Shark on stage, and I guarantee you 1 out of 100 people knows what that is.
Yeah. Pays 15-1 if he shows up.
That's terrible. I'm not saying like some idiot marketing company won't like put him in a commercial, but he's not going to show up in the halftime. Come on. That's asinine.
Yeah. That's about it for the funny ones. Surprisingly, if you can find somebody taking action on how long the national anthem will be, it's going to be sung by Lady Gaga. Take the over, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Unless it's 30 minutes, because then that's a ridiculous over.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. She has a she's likely.
If it's 29 minutes, then.
I tend to agree. I know what you mean. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk some football. Let's get our big swinging football like dicks out and just talk some football and just cross some streams. Well, let's talk some football. Give me the real grown man props.
I thought you would never ask.
So MVP of the Super Bowl.
I'll tell you what. It's gonna be Ted Ginn Jr. 2 long touchdowns, 1 that's clutch. I'm just feeling the Ted Ginn magic.
Ted Ginn Jr. pays out 20-1.
I'm going to go with the easy pick. I'm going to go with Cam Newton.
Cam is minus 130, and what that basically means is you have to bet $100 to win.
To bet $130 to win a dollar?
Yeah, you have to bet $130 to win $100.
Okay.
So, like, you bet $130, you get back $230.
Okay.
He's the odds-on favorite. Peyton Manning's plus 275.
Nope. Peyton Manning can barely move.
It's always going to be a quarterback or a like a running back that has like stolen the show.
No,
it's always going to be that.
You're wrong. It's either going to be a quarterback or a random ass receiver that has a good game.
It's always going to be a quarterback or a
Random ass defensive player that steals the show.
Mm. Yeah,
if
it's like a random defensive player, like DeMarcus Ware is 33-1.
DeMarcus Ware, Aqib Talib,
Brandon Marshall is 100-1. Aqib Talib 33-1.
Yeah, how about Von Miller?
Von Miller.
I mean, think about it.
16-1. So pretty good.
I'll take Von Miller. Bad. Then, if we're gonna say,
I think Von Miller is one of the best players in the league. But I mean, think about it. Von Miller. You know, think about the James Harrison Pittsburgh Steelers 2008 fumble return at the end of the half. One of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history. A play that a defensive end linebacker makes. And he's still not the MVP. I mean, Von Miller would have to do something so unbelievable that that it transcends space and time. He's not going to be the MVP.
Yeah,
but who might?
But
who might?
Have you seen Von Miller's track? His sack dance.
Think about Larry Brown. Oh, it's a great dance. Think about Larry Brown. Think about Dexter McLean or Dexter the Tampa Bay Buck secondary player. There is a pattern of secondary players that make big time game changing interceptions that people
like Josh
remember.
Norman.
Could be a guy like Josh Norman. I think what you're going to see is Ted Ginn having an exceptionally big game because Aqib Talib is going to be on, you know, basically, well, he's the one, isn't he? Is it Devin Funchess or Ted Ginn that's the one?
Ted Ginn. Devin Funchess is 100-1.
Give me a little Devin Funchess action. I'm kind of feeling it.
I still don't understand why you're sold on Ted Ginn.
I'm sold on a Panthers receiver that makes exceptionally big, long plays that boost his numbers, and it winds up with like 9 catches for 200 yards.
I could see Ted Ginn if he makes like 2 50-yard catches, returns a punt for a touchdown, or really long.
Yeah.
He can stretch and end around.
That's the thing. He's going to have to get at least some sort of like special team score.
Right.
In order
to because he gets the ball in the normal offense.
He just has to not drop a pass when he's wide ass open.
Now here's who you cannot. I'm feeling a Panthers receiver. I think it's Stedigan Jr. Here's who you cannot bet on. Although 101 Devin Funchess, I would take a little bit of that action. Here is who you can't bet on Jonathan Stewart. You absolutely cannot bet on Jonathan Stewart because you won't really be able to do much running in this game. The little bit of daylight that'll be there will be Cam. I'm hesitant to take Cam because I think the Panthers are going to finish with like 200. I think Cam will finish with like 250 yards, one passing touchdown, one throwing touchdown, and a pick. And I think the bulk of that yardage will come on a couple of big plays, which is why I think the receiver is in line to stand out there. But the case for Cam is you get a comprehensive beatdown, a team beatdown, and who is the MVP? Whenever it's a team beatdown, the leader is the quarterback. So
yeah,
that's why he's the odds-on favorite. All right, what else?
Luke Kuechly, 12-1, just kind of for MVP is another fun one. First touchdown scorer, got Cam at 5-1, Jonathan Stewart at 8-1, Emmanuel Sanders 10-1.
Yeah.
Owen Daniels 14-1. I actually kind of like that bet. Ted Ginn 10-1.
Where's my man Ted Ginn? 10-1.
10-1. Okay. Devin Funchess 20-1.
So like, whenever they say touchdown score, it's going to be whoever actually carries the football past the end zone.
Yeah. So like, if it's Cam, he's got to rush it in himself.
Okay. Okay.
I like Ted Ginn Jr. I'm going to hedge my. I'm just going to double down on Ted Ginn Jr. I'm telling you, this kid is special. He's not good. He's just like one of those memorable special. Like, I can see this. Teddy Ginn Jr. Super Bowl MVP.
I feel like I should be like just betting money against you directly for this. I feel like you're going
to
pay my rent next month.
If you want to give me 10-1 odds on Teddy Ginn Jr., you got yourself a goddamn deal.
Will either backup QB take a snap in the game?
No. No.
Boy, that's hard. Peyton Manning, you'll have to drag him off the field.
Yeah.
If it's a giant blowout, if it's a Panthers blowout, then... and by the way, you know, if it's a Panthers blowout, that's what Vegas wants the least, because it's going to have to pay out the most people. People are taking the Panthers -6, so...
It's definitely going to take a serious injury for either quarterback, because I think the same thing can be said about Cam. Is like you're going to have to carry him off the field before he leaves. And he's a bulldozer. So,
But yeah. The Panthers could be up 45-0, and Derek Anderson comes in to like kneel it. That's why I'm a little hesitant, because that could happen. It's hard to imagine, though.
God, I hope not.
So, yeah, I'm going to say no, that won't happen, but it could happen.
The payout, if you take the action of there being no touchdowns in this game, is 66-1. But that's probably not happening.
It's kicker's paradise.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I did have the Denver Broncos kicker won me my fantasy league this year, so I'm pretty happy with him.
That's sort of, some of these are like kind of...
What else you got?
How many successful field goals will be kicked in the game? That's sort of the odd ones. Like
they're cumulative.
By the Panthers, 3 pays out 4.25-1. 4 pays out 10-1.
I was gonna say there's gonna be a total of 6 in the game for both teams. That sounds about right to me. But I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with Logan. What else?
I mean, there's a ton here. It's kind of pretty much...
Give me some good ones, man.
So, JC, you're the gambler. Tell us, what are you betting on?
So I have in so far, and I've got a few more bets I'm going to make because my parents are going to be in Vegas, and that kind of opened up a whole new world of possibilities. first touchdown score, paying out 20-1. I had Jericho Cotchery because Cam's been throwing to him. I got $2 on that to pay 50. I like the Broncos +6, parlaying that with the under of 45.5. So I think this is probably be to our overall game analysis, but I think Denver will keep it close, and if Denver keeps it close, they'll keep it under 45. I got two different bets on first touchdown score. I have Cam. When I placed the bet, he was 6-1. It's currently 5-1, and then I got Greg Olsen. Both of those pay out about $30 if I hit either of those. So, you know, when it comes to gambling, I just kind of, I don't bet like tons of money. I just kind of bet, you know, fun amounts, but it's enough to keep it interesting.
Always bet what you can afford to lose.
Right.
Man. Come on.
And that's the number one rule of gambling.
Come on. What else?
So, what if I can't afford anything?
Then, bet it all, my man, and let's go get your money back.
Always bet on black.
Well, relationship guys got to also follow the rule of bet what your wife allows you to. I don't have that problem.
I'm not married yet.
Yeah. Well, you got a girlfriend, so I'm sure she. CJ Anderson. Who will have more rushing yards, CJ Anderson or Jonathan Stewart?
CJ Anderson.
Those are kind of the coin toss bets, and
that's not a coin toss bet. Broncos got the number one defense.
Yeah.
Cam Newton is going to take carries away from Jonathan Stewart, whereas Peyton Manning will not.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Toss sweep 8 yard gain, you get 1 8 to 20 yard run by CJ Anderson a half. I think Jonathan Stewart finishes with like less than 40 yards. I think CJ finishes with 70.
Yeah,
that's a 30 yard swing in my head. You guys take that action.
I'm thinking over 100, but I still agree with you.
Some of the funny bets are like where you got to have like real problems if you're kind of like hedging a lot of money on these. It's like, what are going to be the results of Cam's first pass attempt? Incompletion, completion, touchdown, interception. And it's like, if you're betting on that and you're betting huge amounts of money, like, I don't know, man.
There's also
you
like
don't, you don't have to watch the game that closely.
There's also bets on like the opening coin toss and
yeah, which is literally tails. Coin toss.
It's statistically tails more often. There are trends. There are outliers. You have better than 50-50 odds. Go tails. And thank you later.
What do you think of the I think the Broncos are wearing their orange jerseys or their white jerseys. No, they're wearing their white.
Yeah,
because every time they've worn orange, they've lost as a team in the Super Bowl. Mm. And the...
Are they actually going to do that?
Yeah. And the team wearing white in the last 10 years is more successful than the dark team, which the Panthers are wearing black jerseys.
I think that's... I mean, the Panthers lost the Super Bowl in white jerseys, so that theory is bullshit. That seems like a whole lot of work.
Yeah.
For no payoff at all. I'll be very surprised if you see the Broncos in their whites. They're not going to do that. Come on.
Well, they've already announced they're wearing their white jerseys.
You know, back in 95, Steelers were like, hey...
He's still going to be surprised.
No, the Steelers were like, hey, man, we're going to wear our whites because we want the Cowboys to wear their blues. They always lose in their blues, and they didn't do that. Ultimately, the fashion designer comes in and says, hey, guys, come on, what are we doing here? Broncos will be wearing their orange or their blue. They're not going to wear white. That's shit.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first, yeah. You guys. I mean, we'll see.
You haven't heard it from the Broncos, even though you have.
Has Media Day already happened?
It was on Monday, yeah. They actually rebranded it, as is the NFL's want to do. They rebranded it to, I forgot what I think they called it Media Night or something like that. Opening Night.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could buy tickets to it for $30 a pop.
What?
To watch NFL players give shitty interviews.
Yeah, if you sit there and watch them, like, talk to radio people.
Yeah.
Because
the NFL will make a buck off of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess there's something to that. I'd rather go see, like, a crappy concert. Yeah, they're gonna look. Here's Peyton Manning, and he's wearing his.
What, you still looking this up?
I'm telling you, you will not see the Panthers in black. That's way too cool. I was saying, like, the Panthers in black look way too cool to just like let them wear that.
I'll bet you $10 right now that the Broncos wear white.
You got yourself a goddamn deal, partner.
All right,
Penny.
Hey, you made $10.
Telling you, I'm not going to wear white. That's ridiculous.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
This is recorded.
All right. So, give me one more, and then we'll talk about the game itself and what we think is going to happen. Penny.
Hold on. Let me get back to that.
We're going to wear white because we think white's good luck. I mean, come on. Get the fuck out of here.
Look,
longest rushing attempt for Cam, over or under 14 and a half yards.
Over.
Over, yeah.
That's easy money. That's dirty money. That's blood money.
Yeah, I think that's an easy like pickup for him.
This isn't a prop bet? Do you think that'll be as a result of broken down pocket or designed?
I think it's going to be a result of a third down play where he got sacked on the first or second down and needs to pick up 12 yards, and he's going to pick up at least 15.
There was one. I couldn't find it. Thomas Davis, the guy with the broken arm for the Panthers, over under 5 tackles because he's got a broken arm.
I mean, I have a hard time imagining him being an effective player. I see him more as an emotional leader.
Yeah.
Come on.
I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, and he was like, yeah, I think Thomas Davis will come out, get one tackle in the first quarter, and then he's done.
It also didn't say tackles on the field. He could just tackles on the sideline, in the locker room, whatever. Stands.
All right, my friends. I think the time has come to make our Super Bowl predictions. Now, the Panthers are a 6-point favorite on a neutral field against the number one defense in the NFL. It makes us all very nervous. What I want from you guys, I want the score, the MVP, and, of course, the winner. I'll start with Logan.
Are you asking what I think is going to happen or what
yes,
I want?
Your prediction for the game. What you want, what I want is for, come on, man. I had to censor myself from, like, saying something really horrible and dirty. So you're lucky I hesitated for half a second.
Yeah, please. So there's a lady in the room. So, if you're saying what I think is going to happen, I think that the Panthers are going to pull it out. They're going to win. It's going to be, I'm going to say 24-17. With Cam Newton as the MVP. What I want to happen is I want the Broncos to win. I'm a Broncos semi-fan, and I would love to see Peyton Manning win another Super Bowl. And if that happens, then he should be MVP.
JC?
Like I said earlier, I think the Broncos will keep it close. I think it'll be something like 24-20, Carolina. And yeah, I think Cam will be the MVP because I don't think I don't think defensively. I mean, they'll have impact players, but I don't necessarily know that anybody will be an MVP from the defense. I think the 24 points will all come from offense, and the defense will hold Denver to 20 by themselves.
Okay. I'm sending an email here. You can hear me typing.
Tell us, Ramon.
So, last year, I'm going to look it up. I made a Super Bowl pick. And...
keep selling.
Basically... shit. My last two Super Bowl picks have been, like, goddamn amazing. I had it. Hang on, just a second. My goodness, guys, I'm sorry. I forgot what the actual score of the game was. Tell me what the score is. Don't make me go to another page. All right, it was 28-24 last year. I had it 27-25 in my prediction, which is published, and I just had to look up. I think that's the same amount of points. Year before that, I had a Seahawks blowout over the Broncos. Year before that. Basically, I haven't gotten a Super Bowl wrong. This is, like, legit. I have not gotten a Super Bowl wrong since the undefeated Patriots. That was the last time I was wrong. So I got a hell of a streak going, okay? A hell of a streak. I take this very seriously, okay? So let's talk about the game itself. Now, Colin Cowherd made a very, very, like, impressive point this year that was basically the Panthers are a momentum team. They struggle to dominate coming off of a bye. This season, the scores are closer. They're a little sluggish. They're not as dominant as we'd expect them to be. The public were all suckers because we saw them completely destroy the Cardinals in that NFC Championship game, and we thought, oh, man, this is going to be one side. In fact, I remember going on Facebook and saying, oh, dude, this is awful.
I saw you post that, and I was like, fuck, I hope that's not true.
So here is the situation, though. The Broncos have the number one defense. the Panthers are a little bit of a momentum team. But let's think a little bit about the Patriots and Broncos AFC Championship game and all of that pressure that Tom Brady got. Now, why did he get that much pressure? Because the Patriots had serious holes on the offensive line, so much so that for more than 60% of the snaps, the Broncos only rushed three guys, which meant they committed to laying out guys in the flat and not letting those stick routes in that short passing game beat them. And they were able to do that.
It was impressive.
It was amazing, but it was partly amazing because the Patriots had such a bad offensive line that they could not withstand the Denver pass rush. You can't do that against the Panthers. You're going to have to tweak some things. It's also not a situation where you have to worry about shutting down a guy. We know the Panthers don't have stud receivers. The Panthers receivers make plays because Cam Newton, like, he's what you always see a dominant college quarterback do to. You saw Deshaun Watson do it to Alabama in the national championship game, right? The quarterback, the mobile quarterback that makes linebackers in college just go, oh, fuck, what am I going to do? I have to come up to protect this guy. I have to spy this guy. And then you have those deep seam routes and those holes. Cam Newton's the first quarterback that's been able to do that in NFL history in terms of being the dominant big kid quarterback. You know, we thought it could maybe be somebody like Vince Young, but he didn't have the accuracy. Cam is that dominant package player. Mike Vick couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Vick could do that, but he wasn't durable. So he really is that transcendent. And then we go to Peyton Manning, and we go to the defense that he's facing. Sure, statistically, the Broncos have a better defense, but those Panthers, I saw them live firsthand. I saw the Panthers pick apart Tony Romo and the Cowboys, pick six at the beginning of the game, get off to a big lead like that. And once you're in a hole against the Panthers, then you know, God be with you, because you're going to have mistake after mistake after mistake. Broncos can't throw deep. Broncos can't run the ball. And you have Luke Kuechly spying all those intermediary routes. You're not going to see Owen Daniels open for two touchdowns. You're not going to see Owen Daniels down the seam. I don't know how Denver could be competitive in this game. If this game is close, I like Denver. I think if it's close, then it's a miracle, and I'm going to give Peyton Manning the sheriff miracle vote of confidence to win a close game. But on paper, I like the Panthers big. I like the Panthers to end it at halftime. Broncos can't come back from a 10-point deficit. I like the Panthers 31-21. Cam Newton MVP.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Panthers went out of their way. I think the Broncos either keep it really close and under, or I think the Panthers blow them out and it goes way over the over-under, to the tune of like a 10 to 14 point victory. Yeah. I don't think it'll be, if the Panthers do blow them out, I don't think they'll blow them out by more than 14.
If I had not seen the disaster of the Super Bowl that was, 2 years ago, in a huge egg that the Broncos laid in that Super Bowl, then I would be much more confident in them. But I just... It's hard for me to really bet on them, especially the way that the Panthers are rolling right now.
It's one of those.
Even though I want the Broncos to win.
I can't help but to root for Peyton Manning. I can't help but to root for the Broncos in this game.
Yeah,
you know, I had a dream that the Broncos won in overtime. No joke. A couple nights ago, and I was like, "What the fuck?" But man, Peyton Manning is shot, and he is due for I can really see Carolina just kicking his ass, like just physically pounding him, getting to him, knocking him down, shoving him. But again, the hope is you think about that Atlanta game that the Panthers lost, where late in a close game they had a hard time really like drilling down and finishing it and closing it, and they got a couple of bad sacks. And that Denver defense really is the real deal, and that pass rush is the real deal, and those Panthers receivers really aren't that good. And so there's a part of you that thinks, am I stupid for getting on the Panthers bandwagon when they're playing the number one defense in the NFL?
I think about as I often think about the cinematic nature of sports, and I kind of think about the storybook endings of Elway, Jerome Bettis, Ray Lewis and guys like that. And I think about, and I can't remember, I heard this quote on some radio show where it was an old quarterback who said this, and somebody was reciting the quote, and it was basically, I won't always be as great as I was, but once I can be as great as I always was.
Yeah.
Like, and so I think if it's like, does Peyton have one more game in him? I think he might. I think he might have one more game in him. And
I hope so. And but because I do honestly believe he is one of the like best,
one of the 10 best,
time.
Without a doubt, yeah. One of the 10 best quarterbacks.
And he's never going to actually be able to. He may be able to justify it, but like having another Super Bowl ring on his finger would be able to like seal that for him.
How many quarterbacks have won Super Bowls with two teams? I think that's zero.
I think it might be zero. It's funny with Super Bowls, like you kind of, when you look at the numbers and it's like, yeah, there's only been 49 of them, and so as far as like quarterbacks, like there really haven't been that many people that have won Super Bowls, and
yeah. So if you think about like the people who have won them multiple times, they've all been with the same team,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and then you can make the argument part of the dynasty, part of the great team, part of the system,
yeah.
Peyton Manning is, you know, he is the Eric Clapton, he's the technical guru, right? And that people that play guitar go, you know, Clapton, I don't necessarily love all of his songs, but that guy can play. Like, that dude is a, you know, a disciple. He's an artist.
He's a student of the game.
He's a student of the game.
Yeah.
Again, and we're going over time here, but Peyton Manning without an arm against a just a punishing defense that is so I'm still saying this as a shell-shocked Cowboys fan, but that I've never seen a defense that is more opportunistic, even going back to the Seahawks a couple years ago, even going back to the Ravens 15 years ago, the 2000 Ravens, even going back to, you know, the doomsday defense of the Cowboys or the Steel Curtain on film. The Panthers are just it's a different tempo, and when you're playing their game and when you're making throws down the middle of the field, when you're trying to elude the pass rush, you can't throw downfield, you can't throw in the flats, and you can't run. What do you got? How are you going to pull this off? And I think you're going to need big special teams plays and big turnovers to make it a game. And I think to take Denver in this game is to bet on magical elements like kick return touchdowns, punt return mistakes, muff punts, pick sixes. And I don't want to be in the game of betting on those things to happen when they happen all year. This is a 15-1 team.
No fun league.
No fun league. I think it's a Panthers day. Quick correction. I said Cam Newton MVP. I meant to say Teddigan Jr. is what I meant to say. And that's all the time we have, guys. Inside the Locker, enjoy the Super Bowl. Enjoy the commercials. Enjoy the time with your friends and family. Love each other. Take care of each other out there in the mosh pit. And we'll see you guys next week to break it all down.
And tweet us during the Super Bowl. We
tweet us during the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, Logan.
No. Like, at ITLcast. And
we're all going to Logan's house for the Super Bowl, so I'll go ahead and tweet out the address if you want to come by. It'll be great. We'll have a 7-layered dip. We'll have tiki torches and some strippers. It'll be awesome.
If you're a loyal listener, you can DM me on Twitter, and I'll hook you up.
Boom.
Thanks, y'all.